Mom Bev stayed over to worship with us. Woo! Come on, let's thank God for Pastor Bev Tucker. Amen. Amen. Oh, I love you. Wow. This has been so great. Were y'all blessed by the conference? I tell you, met some wonderful, wonderful people, and and it's like we're going to be together forever, especially forever. Amen. I am so grateful to God. I'm not going to hold you long, but I'm going to hold you strong. Amen. God is so good. And the Lord spoke to me last week, and we're still in the series entitled Instead. And the Lord spoke to me about something, and we know that the messages are prophetic. Jesus had troubles. Moses had troubles. Abraham had troubles. Job had troubles. You can't name anybody in the Bible who didn't have to go through some type of troubling experience. You may not be going through a troubling experience right now, but when it happens, I'm about to give you some arrows for your quiver so you can pull it out and shoot whenever it comes. When I was growing up, my pastor preached this message entitled, Trouble Has Its Place in My Life. And he said, sometimes God allows trouble because that trouble is what gives you the blessing. God handles the blessing to trouble, and trouble gives it to you. Amen. We see that in the life of Job, everything that he went through. And because he went through that, how God doubled that blessing. Yes. So I want to teach today what to do when trouble comes.
Amen.
What it's about when trouble comes. Now, I was in noonday prayer. We have noonday prayer here every Monday from 12 to 1, as you just saw. And I like to come right up here and just walk and walk and walk and just pray in tongues the entire hour. Unless I think of something I need to say in English, and then the Holy Spirit takes back over in tongues. Your captain, you know how that goes. So this question came to me. And this statement in a form of a question, as the Holy Spirit gave it. And the Holy Spirit said this: instead of asking why does God allow trouble, ask, why does trouble allow God?
Amen. All right.
Instead of asking, why does God allow trouble, ask, why does trouble allow God? We may say, well, God is all powerful. God can just knock trouble out. Well, why doesn't he? We still have to go through troubling times. There are things that trouble us. So why does trouble allow God to operate, to work? Because it doesn't happen automatically, as we may think.
Amen.
Ooh, because trouble never succeeds where God's promises are believed and acted upon. We have to do our part. If we don't do our part, trouble is going to be there. And it can take us out if we let it. Trouble only allows God to operate where we allow God to operate by our faith and works. This is very important. This is very important. We're talking about when trouble comes. We need to know how to respond when trouble comes. How are we to respond to God? How are we to respond to trouble? What are we to do? What are we to say? This is so important for us. We see people in the Bible who went through troubling times and all that they went through. You know, I've been through some things, and when God brings me out, I'm like, Lord, I remember one particular time. I said, Father, I would feel so good right now about being out of trouble. I'd feel a whole lot better if I praised you the entire time. But I complained, I doubted, I was afraid, I had anxiety. Oh, and you were going to bring me out this whole time. You had all of this planned. Oh, I wish I would have just said, God, it doesn't matter. I'm going to praise you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Wow. Have you ever had that? Like, you don't know how it's going. And that's the biggest thing. We don't know how it's going to end. That's why God is like, okay, I'm your dad, right? Yes, yes, you're my dad. Do I love you? Of course you love me. Have you been through hard things in your past? I have. Are you still there? Or did I bring you out? You brought me out. Am I faithful? You're faithful. So what's the problem? If I did it before, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. Have I ever given up? You've never given up on me. Then what are you worried about? This trouble that's going on. Oh, trouble, schmubble. It's nothing to me. Nothing. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says in Psalm 34:17, the righteous, this is so important, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth.
Yes.
Now, I love King James. I love Amplify. But King James, when you see ETH on the end of a word, it's so important to know it means to continue to. So when the righteous cry, the Lord continues to hear the righteous.
Amen.
You can't live any kind of way. You know, a lot of people that I witness to, they say, no, I'm not saved. I don't go to church, but I still pray. And I have to tell them, God doesn't hear you. If you're not a Christian, he doesn't hear you. Oh, the Bible says, now we know God heareth not sinners.
Yes.
But if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Yes.
The only time God hears a sinner is when the sinner is saying, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. And when they see that scripture, they're like, he's not hearing you. In the psalm, he said, your iniquity has come between us. It cuts you off from me.
Yes, say so.
That I can't even hear. There are people praying, and it's going no further than the sound waves in the room where they are. That's why we must witness.
Amen. Yes.
I'm a homeboy. I've lived here in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Next Tuesday will be 58 years. And in these 58 years, I don't remember not even two Christians coming up to me to witness to me. I really can't remember one. I can't remember one person coming up to me who just, of course, don't know me. I don't dress every day in a suit and tie. I don't look like a preacher every day. Just like just the average person. Haven't. But I cannot count the times. I cannot count the times that a Jehovah's Witness has come. What in the wonderful world of Disney are we doing? You know, Mom, I got a little frustrated, membership knows this, because they wouldn't witness. They wouldn't tell, mind, they wouldn't tell people about Jesus. And so I asked this guy who I know was a Jehovah's, and still is a Jehovah's Witness. I said, man, I'm just going to be honest with you. I am frustrated that the people in my church, they don't witness. They don't go out and tell people about Jesus. And y'all are known for that. He's a Jehovah's Witness. I say, y'all are known for that. So, can you give me some tips? I really did. He said some things that was so powerful, and I'll share one of them. He said, the reason we keep going back to the same people over and over is because perhaps they have had a life change, a situation in their life. When we went before, they didn't need to hear anything we had to say. But now a family member has died. They lost a job or something else has happened. And now they are open. I said, what? And then he said this. Also, then he said, also tell your church. Isn't this something? Don't be ashamed of what you believe.
Amen.
He said, I was out. He said, I was a teenager and I was out drinking and driving with my friends, and the cops brought us to the station, and the cops were asking me a question, this, that, and the other, and it had something to do with religion or something. And I wouldn't say anything. And when my father got there and the police told him what I didn't say, what I wouldn't share, my father said to me, don't you ever be ashamed of your religion. Don't you ever. He's a Jehovah's Witness. And I asked him, I said, I need tips. He said, you tell your church, don't you be ashamed of what you believe. Because that is why people don't witness. They, this person standing in front of me look like they got it together. You know, I'm in line here at Walmart, and Holy Spirit just told me to witness this person. They like they got more money than I would. What does money have to do with heaven or hell?
Amen.
Say so. Or I'm embarrassed to talk about the one who saved your life.
Hallelujah.
If you had a new boyfriend, new girlfriend, you'd be talking all over the place.
Yeah.
New job, new car, you put it all out on Facebook. Woo! When's the last time you put Jesus all out on Facebook?
Yes.
He said, we go back to them because they could have had a change in their life, and they need somebody to talk to. What are we doing? God has delivered us out of troubles. We won't even testify. Minister Jerry was telling me this morning, he calls me every Sunday to pray for me. Such a blessing. And he told me he works at Lowe's. And there was a gentleman, a customer. Was it a customer? a customer in the aisle, real big dude, and Jerry said to him, "Hey man, I just feel to share with you that Jesus loves you." This guy started bawling, crying.
Yes.
Bawling, crying. And said, "I've been going through so much. My faith has been tested, yada, 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 yada." And he gave his heart to the Lord in the middle of lows. This is just last week. People going through troubling things in their minds, we have to be there for them. The righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. God doesn't prevent troubles, but when they come, he will deliver you out of the troubles. So it's not a sign of doubt when the righteous cry out to God for help. Well, I don't want to make it look like I don't doubt him. God, I just need you. It is not a sign of doubt when the righteous cry out to God for help from a heart of dependence on him. Your little child is running and falls, scrapes his or her knee and come running. "Oh, I'm bleeding. I'm bleeding." Do they doubt that you will care for them?
No.
They're crying. They're crying out to you. Do they doubt? They're crying out because I know mommy's going to help. I know daddy's going to help. It's going to feel better.
Amen.
It's going to be better.
Okay.
Cry out to God. Stop pretending like, "God, I know I'm going through, but it's all right." No, it's not. Tell me the truth. "I can't take it no more. I can't take it." He already knows. Be real with God. He's like, "There you go. Now you're talking," because all of that was in your heart. I was just waiting for it to come out. The cry for God to intervene in our lives resembles that of babies who cannot care for their current needs. Why do we cry out to God even as adults?
Yes.
Why? I can't do anything else. I've come to the end of my wits. Wits is the word for understanding.
Yes.
I've come to the end of my understanding. I don't know what else to do, Lord. That's why we cry out to God. I've done everything that I can do. Therefore, don't cry because you don't want to act.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
"I don't want to do this." God's like, "You have to do it." "I don't want to step out the boat. I'm going to drown." "No, you're not." "Yes, I am." "I got troubling things going on. I want to do your will, but then I know what I want." Let me say this. Well, let me ask you a question. Did you know Jesus had a completely separate, different will from God the Father? Somebody said, "You were doing good until you said that." That is not the Bible. Yes, it is. Jesus had a completely different will from God. You want me to prove it? You better. Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." He had a completely separate will from the Father. He says, "Lord, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to have to do this." What did Jesus do? He showed us it's okay to go to God in prayer and you have a completely separate will from him. But make sure you don't come out of prayer until you're able to say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Go in with your will. It's okay. Go in with what you want. "God, I know you want me to do this, but I don't want to do it. I'm coming just as honest as I can to you. I don't want this. I just don't want it. And then after your time with him, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for your glory. Go in prayer with truth, and you're going to come out with truth.
Amen.
Yes. We don't want troubles. We'd love to have a trouble-free life. God never promised it. Jesus never promised it. Matter of fact, Jesus said, yeah, come to me. Come to me. They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. But come to me. Wow. Let my life be through you. Live your life through me. And they're not going to like you. I'm going to tell you. They hated me. They're going to hate you. You're going to go through some stuff. Don't cry because you don't want to act. God doesn't honor the unrighteous when they cry. The Bible says he hears the cry of the righteous. When the unrighteous cry, you can cry all you want. If you're unrighteous, he doesn't honor when they cry unless they're crying out, like I said earlier, in repentance for salvation.
Yes.
Psalm 50:15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Somebody say, well, that's obvious. No, it is not. You know what we usually do in the day of trouble? Try to figure it out.
Yep.
Call Auntie Susan because she has more money than anybody else in the family, and maybe she'll give me a loan. Or on my daddy's side, Uncle Bobo, because he just sold his house. And I know he has money, so he can help me out of this trouble. And say, call unto me, God said, in the day of trouble. Years ago, God showed it to me as, and he called it the blessing triangle. He said, you come to me. I will touch someone's heart to be a blessing to you.
Amen.
Don't go to them. Go to me. Let me touch someone's heart to be a blessing to you. The blessing triangle. So go to God. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God's like, I want the glory for delivering you. In the day of trouble, call out to me because I want the glory. Not Auntie Susan, not Uncle Bobo. God. Elohim. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Olam, the God who sees. Jehovah Jireh, the provider. I want the glory. Trouble hits. Father, what's going on with this, Lord? What's going on with, cry out, thank you, I'm ready to work. Go straight to God. You get to work, and they say, we're going to have layoffs. All right, Lord, I'm already 2 months behind on my rent, and now this has come up. So, Father, how are you going to handle this? Trouble is not just a problem, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. What do you mean? God allows trouble and expects us to call on him. It's an invitation. And when we call, he delivers us and we glorify him. Now be careful, because if we remove the call, we remove the deliverance.
Say so.
We have to call. God, deliver me. Call to me and I will deliver you.
Yes.
I'll deliver you. If you try to think about it, if you try to work it out on your own, I can't promise deliverance. But if you call on me, I will deliver you, and then you're going to give me the glory. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. No, Lord, I don't want you to even come near this foolishness. Just take me out. No, I'm going to come and be with you in trouble.
Yes.
I will deliver him and then I'm going to honor you. You going to honor me? Do you know we are honored when we come out of trouble? We call on God. God says, I'm going to get all the glory, but I'm going to honor you for what you had to go through.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.
I'm going to honor you. God does not always remove trouble immediately. He first joins you in it. He joins us. Call me. I'm going to deliver you. You're going to glorify me. And I am going to honor you. This is a whole setup. Trouble doesn't feel good, but at least the next time it hits, or if you're in it now, you're like, I know what to do. I know just what to do now. I know exactly what. And thank you, Father God, just like we learned during the conference, it's not just, oh, it was done for me. Now I can do it for others.
Yes.
I can help somebody else. You know, I can't hardly wait for somebody to call me and tell me some troubling stuff going on. I know just what to tell them.
Amen.
That's why we learn. Jesus' ministry was only 3 years, from age 30 to 33. That was it. John the Baptist's ministry was only 6 months. That was it. Done. How long do you have? How long have you had?
Yes.
How long will you have? It's time for us to help people. I said all that to say, you have this message now. If somebody asks you, what was the preacher preaching that? The trouble, just go to God immediately, cry out to him. He's going to deliver you in his own timing. And you're going to give him the glory after it's all over. And then God's going to honor you. How did you learn that? That's what the Bible says. His presence in trouble is proof that trouble does not have authority over you.
Yes.
His presence comes. This is mine. This is my child right here. Ooh. Be inside and hear your child crying outside or screaming. What's going to happen? Your child is going to immediately experience your presence. You're going to go where your child is crying. That is what God is saying. I'm going to be with you in trouble. Here I come. Here I come, baby. I don't know why we have this image of God like he's sitting up on his throne. Stop doing that. Angel, go here. You, now. He's a loving father.
Amen.
He just is. If the only thing you hear from God by the Holy Spirit is you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, stop doing that. I told you to do this and you didn't do it. If you don't hear love, if you don't hear him say, I love you, if you don't hear him say, that was wonderful, if you don't hear encouraging, positive things, then that's not the Holy Spirit. That's an unholy spirit.
Yeah.
No. God is a father. Let my son show me. I made 100 on my test. What am I going to do? You're supposed to make 100. That's why we send you to school. No. What? Okay. All right. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to celebrate. Didn't Jesus say, if your child asks you for a fish, would you give him a serpent? No, no. If he asked you for bread, would you give him a stone? How much more would you, if you earthly fathers going to do, how much more? We need to understand that our heavenly Father loves us. He wants us to cry out to him. He wants us to say, it hurts. Come on. I don't like the way she said it. It made me feel, I understand. She's going through something and she lashed out on you. It was not right. But pray for her. She's always so mean. Didn't Jesus say pray for your enemies?
Amen.
Pray for them. Pray for those who despitefully use you because they need it. They're so mean. They're doing what they're doing because of stuff going on in their lives.
Yes.
It's not about you. I didn't even do anything to her, but somebody did. Pray for her. I ain't praying for her. No. Y'all know how we do. Trouble does not determine your outcome. God's presence does.
Amen.
We think that this trouble is going to be here forever, or it's going to end up like this. It's going to end up. What is that imagination? Cast it down. Cast it down. Actually, that word means, that word casting down actually says disprove it. Come against it and disprove it. That imagination. Now, Psalm 27 and 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Somebody said, ooh, that sounds great, but it only happens when? In the time of trouble.
Yes.
Amen.
Wow. I thought I was just going to be all alone. I thought God was just sitting up there on his throne, just go through the trouble. You know, these are, I'm on a throne, so I got my arms on the thing. Just go through the trouble.
Yeah.
That's not how the Father is. I'm right there with you. Come on, I'm going to hide you. I'm here in my pavilion. Matter of fact, the secret place, I'm going to put you there.
Amen.
I'm going to set you up on a rock, even in trouble. What does all this mean? I'm not gonna let trouble get to you. And what do we say? Man, this thing getting to me. Oh, not scriptural. What people say, why do you let her get to you like that? Why do you let him get to you like that? How can he get to you when the Bible says he puts us in a pavilion, secret place, puts us up on a rock?
Yes.
That person who's messing with you, they don't know where all of that stuff is.
Amen.
They don't know where the pavilion, they have no clue. They don't even come to the tabernacle. More so the secret place in the tabernacle, they have no clue. Trouble is not where you are exposed. It is where God hides you.
Amen.
You're not exposed. You're hidden. While others see pressure, God is positioning you. While others see trouble, God sees transition. It's a transition. I'm taking, hallelujah. Thank you for your touch, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm taking you from here to there.
Yes.
Trouble sometimes signifies I'm taking you from here to there. That's why it's here. That's why this is going on. When trouble comes, it doesn't ask for your permission. It demands your attention. But, instead of giving trouble your attention, give God your immediate response. Don't look at trouble. We don't walk by sight. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. This just happened. It just happened. No, it did not. No, it did not. I taught a few years ago. The Lord had me to look at the word emergency. He said the word in emergency is emerge. It's been there the whole time. It just now emerged. Emergency. How did he died? I just saw him yesterday. What that mean? He couldn't die from yesterday to now? But I mean, you know, that's what we say. He looked fine. She looked great. What in the world? It was there the whole time. It just emerged. Heart attack. And then they do an autopsy. All four arteries blocked. Didn't go to the annual checkup like he should have. Could have caught it. Still, man, it was there the whole time. It just emerged. So when something emerges, don't panic. Instead of panic, pray. Pray. Go straight to God. Go directly to God. My father and I and someone else, we were in Cracker Barrel. And we were eating. And I was sitting across from my father. He was 87, I think. 87 or 88 at that point. And I was looking at him, and his head was down, and he had a napkin in his hand, and he was doing like this. I was looking at him, I was like, what is that doing? And then he slumped over. Now, I'm a fair-skinned man, but Daddy turned completely white. I mean white like these walls. Blood gone. No breathing. Nothing. I was like, Daddy. And after everything, and the manager came out and this, trying to revive him, get him back, and the Holy Spirit told me to pray. I'm like, foot chain. That should have been the first thing you did, Apostle Wall. I'm sitting there looking at him. First thing I should have done was pray, but you know, that's my dad. Still no excuse. I should have prayed first, but then I did. And he came back. Even after he came back, still just as white as these walls. And then finally, the blood started coming back. He died right there. Right there. And instead of panic, Shane Wall, pray. Pray. That is what we are to do. We are to pray. I was in respiratory therapy. I went all kinds of schooling. I didn't, because I wanted to do one thing, preach. That was it. That's all I wanted to do. My father said, nope, you're going to take business. I didn't want to take business in school. What? I just want to preach. So I didn't do well there. Then I went and tried this. Then I went and tried that. So I was taking respiratory therapy. I said, well, I had asthma growing up, so maybe I can learn more about it. Something. And so there was a lady who coded. Coded means she died or was dying. And so I was responsible for bagging her. You put the thing on them. Yeah, you know about that. And I was trying to bag her. I couldn't get an ounce of air into her lungs at all. because it covers the nose and the mouth. And I was trying with everything I had. I was a student. And so I just started speaking in tongues. You know, nobody else in there that I know of was saved. So I was just doing it kind of quietly and just speaking in tongues. None of that was working. And then blood just started coming out of her nose, I guess because of all the pressure that I was trying to apply. And then the doctor said, all right, that's it. And he called the time of death. And this lady said, then the Holy Spirit said to me, that's why you were praying in tongues. I had no clue. I had no clue. I didn't know the lady. Daddy, I knew him, so you know, that was more familiar. But I didn't know the lady. But I'm going to tell y'all, the doctor said, y'all go ahead and send her downstairs so I won't have to do the paperwork if she dies again. Oh, he didn't say that? Okay. So they sent her downstairs. So if she died down there, they would have to do all the paperwork that you have to do and stuff like that. But yeah, don't panic. Pray. Amen. Instead of fear, believe. Instead of reacting, respond. In faith. Reaction is just something that I do. Responding, no, I know what I'm doing. I'm consciously going to cry out to God. I'm consciously going to speak the word. I'm consciously, you don't react, you respond. Trouble reveals what we truly believe about God. You want to know what you really believe about God? Let trouble hit you. You will know if you have faith in God or not. That's for sure. And we all know Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, all things work together for good, so don't fire your workers. All things work together. Don't fire. Get this trouble out. No, it's working together with something else for your good. Don't fire your workers. God, take it. God, like, it's working for you. Ooh, I'm not going to fire your workers. I love it. Because trouble does not work against us. It works for us when we love God and stay aligned with his purpose. Because trouble only defeats those who disconnect from God while you're in the middle of it. That's the way it works. And that's the way it has always worked. Disconnect from God in the middle of it, then trouble can defeat you. Other than that, hallelujah, it cannot. It cannot. I just saw someone in trouble. And it's like, how do I describe it? It's like a cloud. It's like a cloud, a round cloud around you. You're not in trouble alone. I'm just telling you, you're not in trouble alone. And the Holy Spirit isn't making it clear if you're here, if you're listening and watching, but you're not in trouble alone. Somebody said, I'm in trouble. I got in trouble. Well, guess who else got in trouble with you?
Yes.
God did. Amen. Wow. Trouble came to choose you, but God already chose you.
Yep.
Trouble thought it was going to take you out. I choose you to take you out. God's like, I already chose him to go out for me and do my will. So trouble can't have you because God already does. Trouble came to define you, but God already defined you. Oh, you got in trouble. You did this. That means you are, God said, say it and I'll slap you backwards. Say it. Do you know the Bible says that God's hand is raised ready to strike? Amen. It's in the word. It's raised ready to strike. Talk about my child. I just want you to just say it. Just try me. See if I will be God Almighty. Your daddy loves you. I'm trying to tell you. Why do you think we need to pray for our enemies?
Yes.
So I need to pray for you because you don't mess with me. Oh, my daddy don't play. I need to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Trouble came to stop you, but God already sent you and he backs you with his power. Trouble came to stop you. No. Hallelujah. God backs you with his power. Trouble thought it was going to stop you. No. Mm-mm. How you going to stop? I'm in the listen, trouble. You're going to have to just go with me because I got to keep going and doing what I'm supposed to do. So I know you came. So come on, let's go. I'm not going to stop doing what God has called me to do, what God has told me to do. You just gonna have to go with me. As a matter of fact, somebody else is gonna join us in just a little bit. And I think you've seen him before. So here we are, the three of us. Me, God, and trouble on this road of life together. What conversations we will have. That's the way it is. All right. So your life work assignment is to pray. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to always choose your guidance instead of reacting to trouble.
Yes.
Talk to the Holy Spirit about this. Help me to always choose your guidance instead of reacting to trouble. Always, always, always. Because our expected behavior, I'll go back. Holy Spirit, I need you because I know my mouth. I know my mouth.
Yes.
And what happens to my mouth is it just flies off that. It's not your mouth. It's your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's your heart. Your mouth is not an involuntary muscle. Or rather a voluntary muscle. Our lungs are voluntary muscles. We breathe whether we're thinking about it or not. While we're sleeping, it just happens. Our heart, voluntary, it does it on its own. Mouth, it's involuntary. We have to move our mouths. We decide to do it. The Bible says it this way, our spirit seeks. That's why it's very important to watch or be very careful about what you put before you. Movies, music, TV, because our spirit seeks, brings it back to our heart that believes. And then our heart convinces our soul about what the spirit sought and bought. That the heart believes. And then the soul acts. That's why we have to say, what's wrong with you, soul? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. As a matter of fact, all that's within me, bless his holy name. Soul, why thou down? Why thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Our spirit, many times, has to talk to our soul to get it right. Where do you think David got that from to write that? That is what happens. Yeah, we need to talk to ourselves. So make sure you pray this, because our expected behavior, of course, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yes.
And lean not, don't lean unto thine own understanding. Or else you're going to do things your way. Trouble comes, you're going to do things your way, not God's way. And what's going to happen? You're not going to be honored. God is not going to be glorified. And that trouble is going to wreak havoc in your life. So I don't care what way you're planning to go. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So when trouble comes, don't lean on your understanding. Acknowledge God instead, and he will direct you through it. Because most times, the only way out is through.
Yes.
We're not backing up away from it at all. God is not going to lift us up out of it. The only way out is through. So, don't panic. Don't lean to your own understanding. You can do all of this, all of it, all of it. Because that's what God wants. That's what he wants. When trouble comes. That's what he wants. And as always, if you didn't get all of the notes, maybe in about 2 or 3 hours, this message will be up on YouTube. And if you go to the description section, you'll see all of the notes. Copy, paste, pray, preach, use, however you desire. Father, we just love you. We praise you. We bless you. You're so perfect. There's no one like you anywhere. Thank you for how you lovingly teach us. Thank you, Father, for how you mold us to know your heart of love for us, what you say, what you do. Father, you're just so perfect. Thank you for letting us know about trouble. Thank you for letting us know what to do when trouble comes. And now we know how to help others as well. So, Father, we bless you and we thank you. Father, you gave this message to me, every single point. You gave it to me to give to these thy people and those who are watching and listening for a purpose. There is a purpose. Because this is your way. You only have this particular way. It's clear as we read in your word, you want to honor us. Oh, Father. You don't sit there looking at us like you're supposed to go through it. Everybody has trouble. Just go through it. Father, you want to and you will honor us for going through the trouble. God, you're so good. You're so, and some of the trouble we got ourselves in.
Amen.
We did it to ourselves. And we can still cry out to you and you'll still come. Father, if we told our child to stop jumping off of the picnic table and they still did it and hurt themselves, we're not going to hear them cry and stay inside. No! Even though they were disobedient, we still go to them. We still go to them. God, you're such a good God to us. How blessed we are to have you. And Holy Spirit, we do need your help so that we can respond according to God's will and not our own. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Lord. God, you're just good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Maybe there's someone here, or you're listening and watching, and you don't know Jesus. Or you did know Jesus, but you left him, and you want to come back. Let's all bow our heads again. Just simply repeat after me. If you're coming back to God, if you've never given God your life, just simply say this, because God is looking directly at you, and just say it. Don't think it, because Jesus said, I believe it's in Luke, he said, when you pray, say. And the Bible says in Romans that we have to confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts. So just speak it, even if it's a whisper, and you're coming back to him, just simply say, Father, I come before you now by Jesus Christ, who died for me and who you raised from the dead. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I want to live my life through you. Thank you, Father, for saving me. My life belongs to you now. I don't own it any longer. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.